sixth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, which we're only going to be there a few moments, because we come over here to this chapter, and it is the story here, but I come down to, I'm going to read those first, or work my way down to verse 6. So I'll say a few things about the first five verses, and then I want to say something that just stands out to me in verse 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian, the rest of our enemies, heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plains of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And basically what Nehemiah said is, oh no to oh no. Oh no, I'm not coming down. I have a work to do in Nehemiah 6. And I sent messenger to them, saying, I do a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Let me say this, the enemy, there's never a good meeting with the enemy. They just ignore. That's what he is doing here. And yet they have sent unto me four times after this sort. I answer them after the same manner. Then Sanballat, in other words, he could not stop the work of God this way. So what he's going to do now is what I want to spend some time on tonight. Because one of the ways that the devil tries to stop the work of God is through the tongue. Very interesting. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in like manner the fifth time. So five times with an open letter in hand, wherein he was written, it is, and I want you to notice this phrase, it is reported among the heathen. And Geshmiu said, is that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for we cause the, which cause the buildest the wall, and thou mayest be their king according to the word. Now this was a rumor. Wasn't true. And I have found that a lot of times the devil will use the tongue, will use an evil tongue. And that's what I want to focus. Here was God. Here was the devil. Through to these men, they couldn't do it physically. So now they're going to do it with the tongue. So that's why we're going to deal. And I want to deal with four stages. How the tongue can destroy a work if you're not careful. I want to deal with four stages. I wanted to call first a deceptive stage, secondly the danger stage, and then thirdly the damaging stage, and then fourthly the destructive stage. Now what do I mean? We'll get into that. But before we even do that, turn with me to the book of Psalm, and turn over there to Psalm 51, if you will, please. Psalm 52. And here is David, who knew what it was, and Nehemiah knew what it was. And I have seen, and I'm not saying we have that problem here. You know, I find that you should have preventative medicine as well as when you have a problem. But I want to tell you what, gossip and those things and the tongue can destroy the work more than anything else. And you need to be aware of that. Notice what David had to say in Psalm 52. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Look there in verse 2, 3, and 4. The tongue deviseth mischiefs. See that? Like a sharp razor working deceitfully. In other words, a tongue can cut the throat of the church. It can create a problem here. Thou, verse 3, lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. He's talking about the tongue. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Let me read that verse 4 again. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Now think with me, because a lot of people get involved in an evil report. Unintentionally. I like to call stage number one the deceitful stage, to be deceived. It's not understanding the full impact of listening to an evil report. Now, an evil report is we're going to see what I mean totally by that as we move on here, but an evil report, you have an example of that if you'll turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And turn there. You all familiar when the children of Israel were unable to go into the promised land. Why weren't they able to go into the promised land? Because there was an evil report brought. You realize that the children of Israel, because they listened to an evil report upon the land, it took them 40 more years before they get into the promised land. You remember the story of the 12 spies that were sent out. And you come over here at verse 32, and they came back, and it says, and they brought up an evil report of the land. Underline that thought in your thinking. An evil report of the land. Now, what they're going to say has a lot of truth in it. You know, arsenic, if you're going to poison someone, you put arsenic in it, it's you don't need a whole lot to kill somebody. And you find here, rat poison. You ever eat rat? Anybody here want to eat rat poison? You know, most it's only about 2% arsenic, and it's the rest of it is just some kind of other stuff. But it's that 2% to kill you. You look here, it says, and they brought an evil report in the land which they had searched of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people we saw in it are a great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and come out of the giants, and come of the giants, we were in our town, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And the Bible tells us, if you go over to the 14th chapter, in verse 36, this is key. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. So here is an evil report. And twisting the report around in such a way to make it look bad. Did you ever see people do that to other people? I have. Now here we have that deception, first of all. People who get involved in an evil report do not understand the full impact of listening. The children of Israel listened to these 10 spies, and they did not understand the full impact that was going to take place. What happened? They never got to the promised land. It was the next generation. Now, let me just say some things about an evil report. Number one, it will, and I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is loaded there with tremendous truth about an evil report. Number one, an evil report damages one's spiritual relationship with the Lord. That's the first thing. To listen to an evil report, to listen to something that is going to hurt somebody else, it will damage one's spiritual relationship with the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, if you will, please. Chapter 11, verse 13 of Proverbs, a talebearer. Now underline that. Because he talks about two kinds of people, that a talebearer reveals secrets. He tells things that ought not be told. You know, I know things about people that just ought not be told. You know things about people, it just ought not be told. And yet a talebearer will tell that. He says a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit. So there's two that are diametrically opposed, one or the other. You from one extreme to the other. Here, one just says, I'm going to protect that person's reputation. But he damages, and the talebearer, he becomes that, and he damages his spiritual relationship. A talebearer does not have a good relationship with God. We say amen to that because it's true. When he starts spreading things that he should not say, secret things about people, it not only damages one's spiritual relationship with the Lord, but it displays one's spiritual condition to others. It will not only damage it, but it will display that. Look at chapter 16 in the same book. Chapter 16, and if you will, please, look there in verse 27. An ungodly man, what's he do? Diggeth up evil. And in his lips there is a burning fire. Did you ever hold something that was... One day I picked up a kettle off the stove and I let that thing down. Marilyn said, hot? And I said, no, just don't like the whole kettle's very long. Of course it was hot. I let go of that thing. And the idea of the text here, it just can't wait. When it digs it up. It goes out. The word diggeth up means it has the idea of going out and looking for something about somebody else so they can share that with someone else. The idea of that there is someone who is purposely going after an evil report, and he just can't wait to let go of it and give it to somebody else. So an evil report damages one's spiritual relationship with the Lord, but it also displays one's spiritual condition to another. Thirdly, it divides friends. Divides friends. Look at chapter 17, if you will, please. Chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Separateth friends. The word very here is in the italics. It's not in the original. He just separates friends. It creates divisions among people. And I've watched down through my years as a pastor in my 44 years in the ministry, I've seen people who used to be close to one another, but because somebody is out here giving an evil report, that has just divided friends. Fourthly, it deepens the wounds of those hurt by the report. See, no one who gets involved in an evil report realizes these. Hey, listen, I didn't mean to do this. They didn't intend it when they got involved in this thing. They did not intend to do this. But not only damages spiritual relationship, displays one's spiritual condition, divides friends, but it deepens the wounds of those that are. Look at chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as a wounds, and they go down deep in the innermost parts of the belly. The idea of the belly here is the innermost being of that person. It literally sickens that person. And I share with you today that a lot of people get involved. I call it the deceptive stage. They didn't intend to. But the more they listened, the worse things got. From the deceptive stage, not knowing, not realizing I'm going to get involved, is what we call the danger stage. The danger stage. Now, the danger stage is listening to a person who carries an evil report. It's not only not understanding. A lot of people don't understand. I've had people come to me more than one time in ministry, and they start in about somebody else, and I say, well, listen, I just want you to know, whatever you're going to say, I'm going to that person. Guess what happened? Whoops. Do you ever have somebody they like to come and they say, well, you know, I don't want to get involved in this, but I just want you to know this. You just got involved if you're going to tell me something about somebody else. So we see here how dangerous. Now, there are four kinds of people you have to look out for. Now, obviously, Sanballat, these fellows, they are fit, number one, the slanderer, one who slanders. A slanderer creates an evil report. I won't take time because we just looked at that in Numbers 13. The report that they gave was a report that slandered what God wanted them to do. It slandered God. Did God want them to go into the promised land? Absolutely. Did they get into the promised land? Not that generation. Because they slandered God in that report. And so it was dishonest. It did not represent the facts truthfully. So that's dangerous. Be careful with the slanderer. But there's another person called a gossiper. Look at chapter 20. You're in the book of Proverbs. So we have here the I call them the four different kinds of people that will spread an evil report. Number one, they are the slander. They are the dangerous people you have to look out for. And then you have the gossiper. Look there at chapter 20 and verse 19. Chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a what? a talebearer. That's the word which we get the word. We in our day, we call them gossipers. Revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The word flattereth here is an interesting one. It means to magnify and sensationalize the rumor. You know, some people have a good sense of humor. Others have a good sense of rumors. They just can't wait, and they sensationalize it. They make it, they color it up. They put some things to it that probably not even near being true. Then you have also a whisperer. David talked about that. So turn with me to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Over in Psalm 41 and verse 7. David is speaking here. David had big conflicts in this area with Saul, with those that were around Saul, and all that hate me whisperer together against me, do they devise my hurt. A whisperer is one that underhandedly whispers, because he doesn't really want to get directly involved, but underhandedly spreads an evil report. And the Bible says, don't meddle, don't associate with that person. So you have those three dangerous ones: a slanderer, a gossiper, a whisperer, and a busybody. Turn with me to the New Testament. Sorry to have you in different places, but can't do this without doing that. 1 Peter chapter 4, very interesting verse, verse 15. Now, I got news for you. If David here went out and murdered somebody, showed up in prayer meeting, and David, how'd your day? Oh, I just shot somebody. Don't worry about it. I think we would worry about it. I think we would probably say, David, not only does the law need to do something with you, we need to do something with you. We're going to church discipline you, buddy. We're going to have to get you out of here until you're ready to get right with the Lord. Notice why I said that. Look at there at 1 Peter chapter 4. And look over there, if you will, please, at verse 15. But none of you suffer as a murderer, or say Leif back here. Leif, I say, how you doing today, Leif? Oh, he said, I just stole a car, but it wasn't a real expensive car. It was just an extra one I needed. Excuse me? I think we would have a problem, wouldn't we, huh? But notice the text. But let us suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a what? Or as a what? Isn't that all in the same verse? Now, we easily can, an evildoer is one who does whatever else that a murderer or a thief doesn't do, but what he does is wrong. But we get upset about those, but we don't seem to get upset about a busybody. But they're all in the same verse. So it is the deceptive stage is being deceived, not understanding what it is to get involved and how much damage. Secondly, then, the dangerous stage is not seeing these four different groups, not watching out for them, not saying to yourself, wow, I better be careful. Then you have the damaging stage. You know, that's someone who intends to injure somebody, and you know it. You know, let me give you what I think are three key questions to ask if someone comes to you with an evil report about somebody else. Because how many of you, like me, have been caught off guard when someone gives a report? Anybody here? Wow, you know, I didn't know I was going to get involved in that. All right? One, ask the person who is have you going directly to the person involved? Isn't that a good question? I mean, they come to me and they said, you know, I'll pick on David again. David here, you know, he cheated on his exams. And you didn't do that, did you, David? No, sir. All right, amen for you. But have you gone and directly asked that person? Second question, have you personally checked out the facts? Well, check out the facts. That's going to interfere with my gossip. Have you personally gone to that person? Have you checked out the facts? And here's the one I always like to ask him. Are you ready for this? Can I quote you? You know what most of them will say? Don't want to get involved. Am I right? That's what most of them will say. Well, you know what? You're already involved. You came to me with an evil report. You're involved. Whether you like it or not, you're involved. And I'm going to quote you. I love it when they come to me, I need to tell you something, but you've got to promise you won't tell anybody else. I never fall for that one. Never, ever in your life fall for that one. Because the truth of it is, you may have to tell somebody. I have teenagers down through the years that have come to me and say, and they're weeping and they're crying, and they say, I got to tell you, but you got to promise you won't go to my parents. I will not make that promise. But you know why? Because the parents are the authority. And I can never bypass the parents. Never, 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 never. Because they're in the authority. And you know, they say to me, well, then I can't tell you. And I kind of seem like I'm crying. Well, that's okay. I'm just going to go to your parents when you leave here. Because you know, they need to know. They came to me, even though they wouldn't tell me what it was. I have an obligation. Amen? That's Bible principle. But you come to realize here, now, if is an interesting, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Now, there are two kinds of evil reports, okay? If I gave an evil report, Matthew 18, if I give an evil report about David. Okay, boy, we're picking on you tonight. Now, if there is going to be a breach between David, because David, say David did something to me. David, I can't believe you did it. I just want you to know I'm going to this David and tell him what you did to me. Matthew 18. Very key. Very key. Have you read that lately? It's a great passage. It's how to handle people that get involved in an evil report. If David has in any way offended me, this David, I have no business going to that David. I go to that David, the one without the hair, not the one with the hair. See what it says here? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell it to his fault between thee and him, what? That's a key word. Let me tell you what that word alone means in the Greek. Alone. That's about as plain as you can get. And he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But I have something that gets David, and David's done something to me, and David doesn't listen. You know what I do? Now I have an obligation to bring maybe this David and maybe Leif, and we go meet with him. Well, what you did was wrong, and you know, and you won't make it right. If he won't, they won't listen, then what do? Go to the church. You know, for all my years in the ministry, I've only seen one case where we've ever church disciplined somebody over gossip and discord. And that, by the way, cost us $100,000 because they sued us. You know what? Somebody said, would you do it over again? You bet. If they're not going to get right with the Lord, we're going to discipline them, and we had to face the consequences. Praise the Lord, we had a good lawyer, and David Gibbs took care of the case for us, but all that still cost us a lot of money. But my point of it is, you do what's right. I had a pastor not too long ago, well, it's been about a year or two ago, called me, and he said, what do you think of church discipline? I said, you do it if you have to do it. He said, don't you know you can get sued today? I said, yeah, I think I understand that principle. Been there, done that. You know what? That doesn't violate Scripture. You do it anyway. You know what? If not, it will permeate through the whole church. So you recognize in the text here that in this damaging stage. Now, however, I find I find that somebody has done something, there are personal sins that we have to deal with, Matthew 18. Okay? But there's some sins that just infect the whole church. You take it to the leadership. Let me illustrate this. Let's go over to Galatians. I forgot to write the... Let's try the first chapter of Galatians. It's bound to be near there. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Look at chapter 2. There, I was close. Chapter 2 is very close to chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to blame. For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing that they were of the circumcision. In other words, he was one thing in front of one group of people. He was something else in front of another group of people. Now, you know what Paul did? He didn't handle this privately. Look what the text says. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, so much that Barnabas was also away with this dissimulation. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before what? Before what? Them all. You're going to damage this church? We're going to just do it publicly. That's what the scripture says. Just do what you got to do to keep the church right. And you just calm down for it and do what you got to do. I say all this because you got to protect the church. It's God's sacred organ. It's God's sacred organism as well as organization. So you have the first stage, which is what I like to call the deceptive stage. You're deceived in thinking it's okay to get involved. Then you have the danger stage where you don't distinguish a slanderer or a busybody or a whisperer or a gossiper. Then you have the danger stage. Excuse me. Then you have the damaging, where actually you get involved and you carry forth that report. Then you have what I call the destructive stage. Let me tell you this as I close this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, because 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, we come over here to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, that's verse 18, and to Jesus Christ concerning you. Look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Now, quenching the Spirit is different it's a very deep sin. And it involves the Spirit of God not working in the local church, because gossipers, slanderers were not dealt with. There's a difference between grieving the Spirit of God and quenching the Spirit of God. One person can, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, but to quench, the whole church is affected by it. Quench not the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God no longer is working in that body of believers. It's almost though he has withdrawn his presence from that ministry. That's what the word quench the Spirit means here. What do you do when you quench a fire? What do? Put it out. A lot of church today, the fire is going out of the church. We do not want to lose the fire of our church. Keep it on fire for our Lord Jesus Christ. So the damage, destructive stage is when the Spirit of God is quenched. Not only destructive, it will quench the Spirit, but it will quicken the work of the devil. Listen, the devil works through people. What did he say to Peter? Peter what? Get behind me who? Satan. How does it damage? It quenches the Spirit and it quickens the work of the devil. It just moves it going forward. Things of the devil. So let me just go back to our text as we close here, because it just jumped out at me. It just, verse 6 of chapter 6, and we got to move on here for prayer, but wherein was written is reported among the heathen. Be careful with a report that's going to damage something or someone else. Be careful with don't be deceptive. Understand what's going to happen. Watch these people who wish to slander, who wish to be whispers and busybodies. Be careful with those. And somebody comes to you, ask some questions. You know what I've often said? I put my arms around people and I say, now listen, before I could stop you, you told me more information than I needed to know. So I put my arm, I said, why don't you and I go to this brother and we'll get this thing worked out. I don't want to get involved. You're coming. Or I'm going to send this person and I will come to you. I'm making sense? This is how you handle it. I've seen more churches tore apart. I remember when our church went through this terrible time back in 1989. The gentleman in question was given an evil report about staff. We went to him, followed the Bible principles. He turned his back literally on the leadership and the deacons and the pastors of the church and said, I don't have to answer to anybody. As a member of that church, he had to answer. We had to discipline. We wound up in the newspaper. He sued us. Would we do it again? Yeah. This is Bible. This is Bible. By the way, the church needed that cleansing. And if we would allow that infection to remain in that church, it wouldn't be, Northside wouldn't be what it is today. I hope this would be a help to you. Watch out for this kind of report. It can hurt our church.